Thank you for downloading the East Haven Podcast. For more information about our church, please visit easthavenchurch.org. Now, please join Pastor Kevin Reiser as he brings us this week's message.
Well, I hope everybody has returned from spring break relatively unscathed. I know that my spring break got changed more than once, and the plans that I had made got disheveled more than once. And I know that happened to at least one other person, but on the good side to that, I got to see my dad over spring break, and I hadn't planned on being able to do that. And during the course of the conversation with my parents, my mother said, "Your dad has embarrassed the family name." And I'm like, well, better him than me, right? But she proceeded to tell me about something that happened in their small group at the church that they attend in Shreveport. Now, my dad is 5'7", about 170 pounds, and sings loud and not on pitch. It's bad. It's always been bad, and the older he's gotten, the worse it's gotten, and the louder it's gotten. There are sections in the church that are empty except for where my dad is. People who have traditionally always sat in their same seat will move to the other side of the church if they see my father coming to sit by them. Because when he sings in church, he just lets it rip. Always has. I guess he's always going to. But on one particular Sunday here a couple weeks ago, the unthinkable really happened. They were in small group together and they were getting ready to start. And the small group teacher said, "Jim, would you sing a solo for us?" My dad smiled from ear to ear, leapt to his feet, rapidly moved to the front, and bellowed something at the top of his lungs. He was having a great time. I have yet to interview anybody from the class to see what they thought. My mother's interpretation was he has embarrassed the family name. But there's a joy that comes through our music. There's a real sense of laying our burden down through our music. There's a real sense of, you know what, I think I can probably get through this with our music. And so I'm proud of my dad for the fact that he has no guile and for the fact that he doesn't care if people look at him and he doesn't care if mom makes fun of him and he doesn't care. He loves his singing when nobody else but the Heavenly Father loves his singing. And he will tell you, and he's always told me, that it helps him deal with the stress and the anxieties of life. And so that's one of the things that we can use. That's one of the things that we can do to deal with the stress and the anxieties of life. You heard the song that we just sang a moment ago, "Through the Storm." He is Lord of all. The fact of the matter is that trials and tribulations are going to come. And through the storm, He is Lord of all. You and I have trials and storms in our life of varying degrees and at varying times and in various ways. You remember several weeks ago, a young lady from the Dickinson area, name is Claire Lankford. She's a precious little five-year-old who has the most angelic face and the sweetest little mousy voice you've ever heard. But she also has a very rare form of cancer. Now Claire likes princesses. And Claire wanted a princess parade. When nothing else would make her feel better, she thought maybe a princess parade would make her feel better. And so she began to talk to her mom and dad about having a princess parade. Mom and dad began to share that idea with some friends. And some friends began to think, well, there's possibly a way we can make that happen and get some costumes and have a little parade for her. Well, word got out on social media that Claire wanted a princess parade. And on the day that it happened, there were literally dozens of friends and family and professional actors and actresses who showed up dressed as some of her favorite Disney princesses. There was donated a horse-drawn carriage pulled by mighty white steeds. And she literally, for that day and for those moments, was a princess. But the thing that amazed me more than the dozens of people gathering around her to dress up in costume and to donate their time and their things like horses and princess trailers is the literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people from the community who went down there and parked their cars and walked the parade route simply to cheer on this little kid that they had no clue who she was other than what they'd seen through social media or on one of the local news channels. And for those moments in little Claire's life, and for those moments in the life of her family, the trials of fighting cancer seemed to dissipate. They seemed to go away. And it was a joyful time. Now, you and I are very similar in the fact that we also have trials. But I dare say not to that extent. Not to the extent that Claire and her family has. And while people probably aren't going to give us a princess parade, there are things that can happen in our own life that are under our own control that can help us through some of these trials and some of these tribulations. Now, trials come into our life in one of three primary formats. The first way is, I have screwed up, and therefore I have trial in my life. Any volunteers? Yeah, you've all done it. We all have. The second way is, somebody else has done something really stupid, and that has brought a trial into my life. Or just the fallen nature of humanity, just the ilk of the world has brought trial into my life. So it's either self-imposed or self-inflicted, others imposed, or just brought on by the world. But we all have varying degrees and various types of trials. So what do we do to deal with those things? How do we navigate through those things? Well, if you brought your Bible or if you have a Bible app on your phone, and let me just interject something here about Bible apps on your phone. I don't know if you're familiar with, to me it's relatively new, but it's called Blue Light Bible. It is the Blue Letter Bible. Blue Letter, Blue Light? Blue Letter Bible. It is by far the best Bible app I have found. And so if you want a really good Bible app, check out Blue Letter Bible. I guess Blue Light would be the Kmart version, wouldn't it? Yeah, there's an app out there. But it's the best one that I've found, and I use it pretty regularly at this point. And it can let you do all kinds of things. But find on your, either in your text or in your app, James chapter 1. Concerning this issue of trials that we face. Because James gives us some pretty strange advice here. James says that we should consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. This is verse 2. Verse 3, he says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any one of you lack wisdom, then you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to that person. But when you ask, you must believe and not have doubts about God, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. That person instead is double-minded, and that person should be considered unstable in everything that they do. A pretty strong indictment that James makes there. But James says that your trials of many kinds, he said, the kinds you inflict or you self-impose, the kinds other inflict, or just being an infected world, wherever the trial comes from, consider them joy. I don't know about you, but I don't consider disease joy. Paul says we ought, or James says we ought to. I don't know about you, but I don't consider financial hardship joy. James says we ought to. Because these are the kinds of things that develop our faith. And how do they develop our faith? They develop our faith through perseverance. They develop our faith through perseverance. Christianity and the church in general has lost its ability to stick with it. Christianity and the church in general has lost its ability to just grind it out and gut it out. If it hurts a little, or if there's any kind of suffering involved, if it's not pie in the sky by and by, I'm checking out. God has let me down. God has once again been another major disappointment in a string of other disappointments in my life. James says, you're not getting the point. The point is that whatever trial's going on in your life is there so that you can help persevere. And when you do, your faith gets bigger and your faith gets better. So what are some practical things that I can do to help that to happen? Let's talk about four today. The first one, actually, all these are pretty simple, but they need to be reiterated. The first one is that we need to focus on what never changes. If you are going through a trial, then you are going through some type of change. If your children are wayward, you're going through a change. If your finances are in bad shape, you're going through a change. If your job has been diminished or lost, you're going through a change. If your relationship is struggling or in trouble, you're going through a change. And so we need to focus during these times of trial on things that never change. And the only real thing I know of that never changes is God Himself. His love never changes. His promises never change. His purpose never changes. He's the great unchangeable. Malachi says that he cannot lie. And since he cannot lie, when he tells us things like he does in Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love, that can't be a lie. And so even when your life is going through trials and those trials bring about changes, God cannot lie. And so when he says he loves you with an everlasting love, that means he's loved you everlastingly. From however long he has been until however long he will be, he has loved you that long. That's a pretty awesome promise. Psalm 33 says, His plan endures forever, His purpose lasts eternally. Rick Warren told us a long time ago that you were born to live forever. And His plan for you goes along with that lifespan. And God's plan for you is to be successful spiritually in this life so that you can live gloriously with Him in the afterlife. That's His plan for you. Isaiah 40 tells us that the Word of God shall stand forever. The New Testament tells us that things are going to be burned up and destroyed. But His Word will be undiminished. It will be unchanged when everything else passes away. When trials come, we need to focus on what never changes. And what never changes is God. Secondly, we need to decide right now that we're going to face our trouble with a friend. We're going to face our trouble with a friend. We make a terrible mistake facing our trouble all alone. We make a terrible mistake when we decide we can handle this by ourselves. It's not human nature to be sharers. It's human nature instead, particularly for men, to withdraw into the castle, to pick up the drawbridge, to fill the moat, to release the alligators, and to say, I'll just stay in here till it all goes away. One of the worst things we can possibly do. We'll just pull into our shell until the pain stops. No, that's not how we get through the transition. That's not how we get through the trials. That's not how we cope with the changes that are going on in our life. Now, some people have decided to take an approach that says, well, I'm just going to tell my troubles to everybody. Facebook. No, not Facebook. There are those that want to turn small group on Sunday morning into group therapy on Sunday morning. No. But small group is a place where you go and you build relationships with people so that there are two or three people in your life that know you well that you can go to in confidence and go, I got a whole lot of hurt I'm dealing with right now. A few close friends, we say to ourselves, but I really don't want anybody else to know. I want to keep all this in and hold this close. I don't want to let anybody else in. Can I be lovingly honest with you? The Bible calls that ego. The Bible calls that a lack of humility. Look, in order to get help, you have to make yourself vulnerable with somebody else. And you have to drop all this machismo. Ladies, I don't know what you call it, but it's not machismo. But you have to drop that too. It's okay to bring somebody alongside and go, I can't. I'm struggling with something right now. I have pain in my life, and I don't know who to talk to or who to help me with. Now, again, it doesn't have to be grab an open mic night and confess your sins. Don't be too proud. The Bible tells us that God resists the proud. Who do you have that you can confide in? Pastor Rick Warren says this about the subject. He says, one reason I never stop talking about small groups is because it gives you a place to land. You need to be in a small group relationship. You don't need a lot of friends in your life. You don't need 50 friends. You just need two or three, preferably from a good small group, that you can share your troubles and trials with. You don't need to share with everybody, but you do need to share with somebody. I think that's good wisdom. You don't need to share with everybody, but you do need to share with somebody. When you have nobody to share with, all kinds of bad psychological things happen. Science tells us for a fact that when we don't have a place to land, when we don't have somebody to talk to, that our stress increases, our depression increases, our tension increases, and our fatigue increases. The Bible tells us 51 times to love one another. to bear one another's burdens, to care for one another, to pray for one another, to share with one another. Warren Wiersbe says, to not bear one another's burdens, to not share with one another, to not pray for one another, to not care for one another, is breaking the laws of God if you are not sharing with somebody else the struggles you are going through. If the Bible says 51 times that those are the kind of things that we need to do, then I think Warren Wiersbe has to be correct. We have to find somebody to share with or we're breaking God's law. Didn't think about holding it all in as being a sin, did you? Might be something to consider. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says it more eloquently than I ever could. Solomon writes, "You know that two are better off than one, because if one falls down, the other is there to pick them up. Two people can resist an attack, but would be defeated if they were single." Who do you have? Who do you know? Who in your small group can you be in a relationship with so that you don't have to carry your troubles alone? So that you don't have to be the single bearer of your burdens? Your small group should be a place where you are known, but should also be a place where you know others. Your small group should be a place where you are helped, but it should also be a place where you help others. Find a small group. Participate in a small group. Face your troubles with a friend. Third, find godly promises to stand on. Regardless of your trial, the Bible's full of promises. Theologians tell us that there could be as many as 7,000, just depending on how you categorize them. 7,000 promises in 66 books of the Old and New Testament. Surely there's one in there that would apply to you. Start there. Find it. Stand on it. Build it as an anchor. It has been said that the promises in God's Word are like blank checks that God is waiting to deposit into His account for you. Over and over and over again, God says, if you will do this, then I will do this. If you will do this, then I will do this. God's got blank checks with your names on them ready to be deposited into your spiritual account. Some of those include Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I am confident of this, that the God who began this work in me will carry it until it is finished through to the day of Christ Jesus. How about you? Do you believe that you're going to be carried by Christ or by God through the day of Christ Jesus? It's a promise that you can sink your teeth into. It is a promise that God has made to you. He's not going to leave you to flounder on the shore until you are gasping for air and completely dehydrated and emaciated. That's not why you're here. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 is another great promise. You can cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, I'll be the first to admit that if you're going to claim this promise, sometimes you have to claim it every 60 seconds. Because as soon as you cast your anxiety on Him and you step away from that, it's back. And so you just keep doing it. It's the old adage, fake it till you make it. You know that the promise is true. You know that the promise is real. You know that God's going to come through on His promise. It's just a matter of the timing to be right. Cast your anxieties on Him. He cares for you. Later in Philippians chapter 4, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace that passes understanding will keep your heart and will keep your mind. Peace comes by trusting God in the situations you don't understand. Peace comes by saying, Lord, I trust You even though I don't understand the situation. I have to tell myself this over and over and over and over again. I've shared with you stories of my past, and when I was a little kid, they did the whole ADHD thing for me. And it's true. There's so much anxiety and there's so much lack of peace that's associated with the ADHD. Unfortunately, I'm one of those children that has carried that on into my adulthood, and my mind just never stops. It really is like somebody's in there with a remote control changing channels in my brain over and over and over and over again. I saw a great meme on the internet the other day, talking about a person with ADHD trying to go to sleep at night. And it said, this is how a person with ADHD counts sheep. One sheep, two sheep, cow, chicken. Old MacDonald had a farm. Hey, Macarena. And I just busted out laughing because that's exactly, I can see that progression taking place in my mind. One sheep, two sheep, cow, chicken, old MacDonald. I can just see it playing out. But the writer of Philippians said, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will keep your heart and your mind. Is it hard? Absolutely. At times it's ridiculously hard. But I have to keep reminding myself over and over and over again, this is the promise. Paul didn't say, this only works if you don't have ADHD. Paul didn't say this doesn't work if this or if that. Paul makes a declaration of fact that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so my heart and my mind have to be transfixed back to Christ Jesus. There are times in your life when you're going to say, God, I don't get this. God, I don't like this. God, I don't need this right now. God, I don't understand this. God, this really stinks. I don't like what's going on. I hate what's going on. But despite all of my emotion towards what's going on, I make a choice to trust you. I make a choice to trust you. And the peace will come. Trusting is always a risky business. One of the reasons it's a risky business is because sometimes you need to bring other people into your life, kind of going back to the last point we were talking about, to help you learn how to trust. You need a sounding board. And in order to do that, you make yourself vulnerable. Thank God for Psalm 112, verse 7. The righteous does not need to fear bad news, nor does the righteous need to live in dread for what may happen. For the righteous has settled in his mind that God will take care of them. The righteous has settled in his mind that God will take care of him. You don't have to live in dread about what's going to happen. You can settle it in your mind that God will take care of you. Finally, you and I need to faithfully communicate with God or to God that we trust him no matter what. Lord, I trust you no matter what. I'm going to trust you no matter what because you are a good God. Well, what about little Claire? Look, God didn't reach down and strike Claire with cancer. Claire's little body is ravaged with cancer because mankind brought evil into this world. And when evil came into this world, disease came with it. And Claire's cancer is simply a byproduct of the fact that we live in the same world that disease exists. It is not God's fault that she has cancer. It is not God's fault that you have any trials going on in your life. And as fashionable as it is to blame God and to point your finger at him and say, look what you have done to me, or look what you have not protected me from. How could I possibly follow you? And we like that one the most. Look what you have not protected me from. And while God has made a conscious choice to not intervene in our lives and to protect us from everything that a sinful world has to offer, he has done everything he knows how to do and has given you every available resource to be protected from the sin that this world has to offer. And when you are protected from the sin by Jesus Christ, disease doesn't matter. Hardship and trouble doesn't matter because Jesus becomes the focal point. And that's the part that the atheists and the agnostics don't get. They think this God should be a puppet on our strings, submitted to our whim and fancy, submitted to, well, if he was really all awesome, he would protect me from bad stuff. He has protected you from the worst thing of all. He has protected you from sin through the death of his son. You have to choose to believe that. And that's why the atheist has no hope, because the atheist will refuse to believe that. Job got it. Job understood. Job said, even though God should let me die, I will still trust him. Even though God should let me die, I will still trust him. I got this great piece of advice years ago. It's hard advice. It's about letting go. But it's good advice. And it's advice that I have to struggle with week in and week out in my life about letting go. Because I like stuff. I like things. I'm a coveter. What can I tell you? But I had a friend tell me years ago that you need to hold everything God gives you with an open hand. Any boyfriend or girlfriend, you need to hold that person with an open hand. Any child or grandchild, you need to hold them with an open hand. Any job or any responsibility, any joy, any pleasure, any pain, you need to hold that with an open hand. Because to not hold that with an open hand, is to cling to it, to hold it and clutch it tight, it then becomes an idol. And when it becomes an idol, it becomes an anchor. And so we need to communicate to God regularly that we trust him no matter what. And we need to hold the things in our life with an open hand. I don't know about you, but this looks an awful lot like a posture of praise to me, because we don't have the people in our lives unless God allows it to be. We don't have the good things in our lives unless God allows it to be. We don't have the bad things in our life unless God allows it to be. Not causes, but allows it to be. And so we hold on to those things with an open hand, letting God move around and take and please, do with as he please. Because not only did Job say that even if you kill me, I'll still trust you, but Job declared the Lord will give and the Lord has the right to take away. Because what Job understood is what we need to understand. God is on our side. He's crazy about you. He loves you. And he protected you from the most grievous thing of all, sin, if you will simply choose to believe in his son. Trials are coming. You may be in them up to your eyeballs today. But God is bigger than any trial. And God is at the ready, and he is more than able to be with you and to sustain you and to help you persevere so that your faith may be strengthened and so that you might be mature in the faith.
Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to speak with someone about living out this week's message, please call the church office at 281-922-5520. You can find more information about East Haven by visiting easthavenchurch.org. Remember, as you go, to live as God's people, telling God's story, building God's kingdom.